Lord, as we have sung together, as we have heard and read scripture together, we know that this is a very special day. Something significant, something stupendous happened on that resurrection morning. And Lord, we don't profess to still have all the answers or understand it completely. But Lord, we are here today filled with joy because the tomb is empty. Lord, we pray that our time together today may help us, not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and next week, and then following months, as we strive to be more faithful followers of Jesus. Help us to share the good news that we are experiencing today with those who have not heard. Lord, open our hearts and minds right now to hear a word from you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever looked up into the starry night sky and wondered if there's life out there somewhere on some other planet? If you have, you're not alone. For humans have wondered about this for generations. NASA, of course, is also interested in this topic with new technology like the Kepler Space Telescope. Astronomers have been looking deeper and deeper into space for more signs of potentially habitable, perhaps life-sustaining planets that look more like ours. You know, we're already planning trips to Mars, and we know that, you know, it's not going to be just like Earth, but, you know, there might be something else out there. Last year, scientists found one such cousin to Earth, approximately 500 light years away. That's now a little trip to Mars and back. Since light travels 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year, this planet that's 500 light years away is obviously not very close. NASA has named the planet Kepler-186f, and its discovery is a significant step toward finding worlds like our planet Earth, says Paul Hertz, director of the Space Agency's Astrophysics Division. This planet is in what scientists call the habitable zone in relation to its closest star, or about the right distance to sustain life as we know it, without frying it and without freezing it. Like with most of these discoveries, however, the scientists don't know yet if Kepler-186f harbors any life, or if it could sustain life as we know it, since they haven't learned much about its atmosphere. And although the planet is about the same size of Earth, its mass and composition are not known either. Previous research leads experts to believe that the surface is rocky, just like every other planetary body we know about except Earth, whose surface area is 71% water, the basic building block of life as we know it. The chances for life to grow on places like Kepler-186f are very slim, but we still keep looking for life among the dead stones and craters of those distant worlds. The women who went to the tomb early on Easter morning were moving among the rocks, but had no such illusion that they would find any life there. Unlike scientists who are always hoping for new discoveries, these women were not expecting to find anything new. They had seen death before. They had returned to the tombs many times and always found the same thing. It was not a habitable zone, since those who were laid among those rocks were always dead, cold, and lifeless. That's why the women went with the spices that morning. People didn't take those along unless they were expecting to find death amid the stones. Jewish burial rites at the time meant anointing the dead body with spices to hasten decomposition and cut down on the smell. Then, about a year later, they returned among the rocks and gathered the remaining bones. They put them in a stone in a box, and then put that box in a niche in the back of the tomb. The same tomb, then, would be used in the same way many times, and the rocks, though, would remain silent. That morning, the women went to anoint the body of the one whom they had hoped would bring new life to a world desperately looking for it. When Jesus of Nazareth had been with them, they felt like anything was possible. These women had seen people healed from diseases. They had seen demons cast out with a word. And they had even seen the dead brought back to life. They had heard Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, which sounded to them like a whole new world, sustaining a different kind of life than the one that they were used to. A world where the first became last and the last first. A world where violence and pain are no more. A world where the brokenness and sins of the past are forgiven. And where everything is made new. But this was not some distant world. In fact, Jesus said that this seemingly alien world was already here and breaking in among them in his own life and ministry. That life, however, had been cut short. Jesus had been nailed to a Roman cross as a criminal, a revolutionary who had threatened the world as those in power knew it. He had talked as if he was from somewhere else, not from this world. His authority and wisdom seemed to be otherworldly. At the same time, however, he was fully human, fully like those women at the tomb that morning, fully like us sitting here today. These women, like the many others, had their view of the world changed by this one who at once seemed so alien and yet so familiar. But now Jesus was dead, and the familiar burial work of the old world needed to be done. They were certain that they would not find signs of life among the stones, rocks, and tombs. When they arrived, with spices in hand, however, they found that the large stone covering the tomb had been rolled away. The lifeless body they expected to find inside that tomb was missing. Put yourself in that place of one of those women that morning. The feelings that you had, what happened to him? We know he died. Things don't come back to life. We're in this graveyard. What they did find, however, was not the body of Jesus. But they found two men in dazzling white clothes standing beside them. A sight so alien that the women bowed their terrified faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The women had expected to find the same old thing, the dead among the dead. The stones undisturbed, and yielding nothing but cold, dry, geophysical reality. What they discovered instead was life, the promise of the real, abundant, eternal life the world has always been looking for. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for signs of life in a graveyard? The empty tomb sends us in a new direction. The empty tomb is itself a sign of life. Not something we'd often think of a tomb being a sign of life. That it once harbored death, but now is empty, is the telltale clue. New life has been here. New life has been at the tomb. Something new has broken into our world. When Jesus rose from the dead, it signaled the beginning of a new creation, a new world. It signaled the ultimate defeat of death itself, and with it, the sin that caused it in the first place. The kingdom of God is not a distant world, but the reality of what happens when heaven and earth come together, renewing both. The reality we pray for each Sunday morning in the Lord's Prayer. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that reality of kingdoms coming together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read the Apostle Paul writing that Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits, or we might say the prototype, of what will happen to us in God's future. Renewed people in a renewed heaven and earth where God dwells with us and makes us whole. We don't have to look for life way out there someplace because it's coming here and indeed is here and available for us right now. The one who was dead is now alive. And because he lives, we too can live without peering hopefully into the darkest reaches of the universe. We have the light of life that illumines everything and makes all things new. Because of this, those who follow the living Christ are always seeing life where others see death. We especially need to hear this message in the wake of more terroristic actions this week. We look around the world and say, what is the world coming to? The world is not a cold, lifeless, rocky place, but a world with hope and future because of Jesus Christ. We live and work in the present with that future in mind. Thus, Paul says to the Corinthians, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that the Lord, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. How many of us sometimes feel hopeless? Yet Easter comes, and the good news of the resurrection offers us hope to go one more hour, one more day, one more week. God turned over a rock and revealed life. That's the best news this planet can ever receive. NASA is still searching for life in worlds that are so far away that it would take us 500 years to get there if we traveled at the speed of light. God has brought a new world to our doorstep in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's something to celebrate. And let's pray together. God of all ages and all people, the shadows and gloom of Good Friday have been dispersed by the light and color of Easter Sunday. We rejoice in your power that turns our sorrow into joy, our despair into hope, our defeat into victory, and evil into goodness. Help us on this Easter day, O God, to burst out of the tombs that have trapped us, tombs of selfishness and sinfulness, greed and gluttony, scandal and corruption, pride and prejudice. Let a new life of divine grace and human love burst forth from each of us this Easter day. We ask this through the grace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.